Please take your Bibles and open them to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. If you would please stand, I'm going to begin reading at verse 6. John chapter 10. Jesus used this illustration that they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. But Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God should be thoroughly equipped, lacking in nothing. You may be seated. In John chapter 10, as I noted last week, we have the last public discourse of Jesus recorded in John's Gospel. In this discourse, Jesus uses imagery that is familiar to his audience. He spoke of sheep, sheepfolds, and shepherds. Not only was shepherding a common occupation in those days, but the Old Testament itself is full of this imagery. God's people are often referred to as sheep, with God himself being their shepherd. The leaders of the people, the kings, the priests, and the prophets, were also referred to as shepherds of God's sheep. For those two reasons, the metaphors Jesus used in this discourse should have been familiar to his audience. The occasion for this discourse was the excommunication of the blind beggar from the synagogue, John chapter 9, verse 34. The false shepherds did not care for this man. Instead, they mistreated him and threw him out. But Jesus, the true shepherd, came to him and took him in. The sheepfold was usually an enclosure made of rocks with an opening for the door. A man was usually hired to be the gatekeeper. If it was not unusual in areas like Jerusalem and Bethlehem and those larger cities for there to be a large sheepfold with higher walls in which shepherds would bring their sheep in order to keep them safe through the night. The gatekeeper would only let those who were the true shepherds of the sheep in through the gate the next morning when the shepherds came to call their sheep. When the shepherds came to get their sheep, and the sheep would have been all mingled together at this point, the shepherd would call them by name. And they would only respond to the shepherd's voice. They would not respond to the voice of one who is not their shepherd. And Jesus makes a point out of saying that when he comes to the sheepfold as the shepherd, the true shepherd, and calls his sheep, they will respond to his voice. Jesus, of course, is speaking there of the sheepfold, which was the nation of Israel. And out of the nation of Israel, he was going to call the elect. You might remember in Romans chapter 9, verse 6, Paul tells us that all Israelites are not true Israelites. There are those who are the physical descendants of Abraham, and there are those who are the spiritual descendants of Abraham. And so it is. Jesus had his elect in the nation of Israel. He came through the preaching of repentance and the gospel to call them to himself. And when he called, they responded to his voice. And so we are taught here not only sovereign election, but we are also taught effectual calling. The sheep respond to the voice of the true shepherd, and they come to him in repentance and saving faith. Well, in this allegory, as it continues on, Jesus speaks of another type of sheepfold. And this sheepfold is the sheepfold that would have been out in the country. And that, too, was an enclosure made of rocks. It also had an opening, but it did not have a door, and it did not have a gatekeeper. And so, as we look at this saying of Jesus, the third I am statement of Jesus that he gives us in John's Gospel, I am the door, it's interesting to note something. The great Old Testament scholar, Sir George Adam Smith, was once traveling through Palestine when he came across a shepherd and his sheep. During their conversation, the shepherd showed him the fold into which he led his sheep at night. It consisted of four walls with one open space. Sir George asked the shepherd whether that opening was how the sheep got in. "Yes," said the shepherd, "and when they are in there, they are perfectly safe." "But there is no door," said Sir George. "I am the door," said the shepherd. He explained, "When the light has gone and all the sheep are inside, I lay down in the open space, and no sheep ever goes out but across my body, and no wolf comes in unless he crosses my body. I am the door." I am the door. Jesus is the door through which the sheep must come into the sheep fold. Now, the point that Jesus is making here, this is an important point for us, and there are three points to my sermon this morning in relationship to this door and the blessings that are there for the spiritual blessings for those who come through the door. The first blessing is that of salvation. The second blessing is that of safety. The third blessing is that of satisfaction. So those are the three things that we want to focus our attention on this morning. Jesus is the door. He is the only way into the sheep fold. Jesus doesn't say, "I am a door." Jesus says, "I am the door." And the words of Jesus here are emphatic. He is not one of many doors through which the sheep might enter into the sheepfold. He is the one and the only door by which they must enter. And so he's teaching us here something that all of us know, and we know very well. There's only one Savior of sinners. There's only one Lamb of God who was slain so that people might have their sins forgiven, and those who believe in him might have eternal life. And that one was the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only Savior, and there are no others. Now, this is an important point to affirm, because so many people, including some who call themselves Christians, deny that Jesus is the only way of salvation. Liberals maintain that while we may believe Jesus, it would be intolerant to deny salvation by other ways. This is why the teaching of Christ as the only Savior is Christianity's gravest offense in our relativistic culture today. Even some sentimental evangelicals have denied the necessity of faith in Jesus to be saved. They argue that God will accept anyone who is sincere in what he or she believes. But what matters most is what Jesus and the Bible say. Jesus says here, "I am the door of the shepherd." Again, he is not one of many doors, but the one and only door to salvation. And this is something that Jesus has emphasized throughout John's gospel. Earlier, Jesus insisted that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He who believes in him is not condemned, Jesus said. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's John 3:16 and 3:18. John the Baptist stated, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. John 3:36. If God's wrath remains on anyone who rejects Jesus, then faith in Jesus is the one way to escape God's just condemnation. But unbelievers demand another way, any other way, that grants salvation to those who simply believe in something and in someone. Unbelievers insist that there are many roads that lead to God, but the Bible is unmistakably clear. There is only one way to be saved, and that is through believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the door. And later on, he will say, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Peter said in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There is only one Savior, and there is only one way to be saved, and that is through faith in him. Now notice that Jesus does not say that he is a wall that people have to climb over in order to enter into the sheepfold. That is, you have to climb over by your own effort. You have to climb over by your good works. You have to climb over through love for your neighbor. No, Jesus teaches us that he is not a wall that one climbs over to get into the sheepfold. Rather, he is the door that one must believe on to enter into the sheepfold of God. I am the door, Jesus said for the second time. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And so Jesus clearly is telling us here that salvation is only through faith in him. And those who believe in him will be saved. Some will see this as a contradiction of the Bible's doctrine of election or predestination. That is, Jesus saying, if anyone enters in, they shall be saved. And so there are some that say, well, if anyone can enter in, then that must mean that everybody has the ability, the innate ability to enter in. And yet the scripture clearly teaches that mankind does not retain that ability, that after the fall, man lacks the ability, he lacks the desire, he lacks the want to come into God's sheepfold. Men are dead in their trespasses and sins. No man can come, Jesus said to me, unless the Father draws them. And so we lack the ability to come savingly to Jesus Christ through faith. Only those who are the elect will come to Christ and respond to the gospel. Only the elect will repent and believe. all those who come to Christ through faith shall be saved. Well, there are some people that wonder, well, what if I'm not one of the elect? What good will it do me to believe I won't be saved? Problem is, you don't know whether you're one of the elect or not. The famous Bible expositor James Montgomery Boyce tells of a woman who came to faith in Christ during a sermon preached by Donald J. Gray Barnhouse that dealt with these matters. Although the woman had been raised in a Christian home, she was kept from coming to Christ by worries that she was not one of the elect. Barnhouse helped her by putting it this way. Imagine, he said, that the cross has a door in it. All you are asked to do is go through. On one side, the side facing you, there is an invitation. Whosoever will may come. You stand there with your sin upon you and wonder if you should enter or not. Finally, you do, and as you do, the burden of your sin drops away. You are safe and free. Joyfully, you then turn around and see written on the back side of the cross through which you have now entered the words, chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. At this point, Barnhouse invited those hearing to accept God's invitation to enter through faith in Christ and thus be saved from their sins. At this point, the woman came to Jesus through faith and entered into eternal life. For the rest of her life, she would say that it was understanding how a sovereign God freely offers salvation to sinners enabled her to believe. And that woman was James Montgomery Boyce's mother. Anyone means anyone. It meant the Jewish people who cried out for Jesus' crucifixion and mocked Him on the cross. It was to some of those that Peter preached, and it was some of those same people who responded to the preaching of the gospel and came savingly in faith to Jesus Christ to be saved. It means a man. It means a woman. It means a child. Anyone who calls upon Christ shall be saved. It means the person who used to think of himself or herself as self-righteous and in no need of a Savior, but who at some point comes to the conclusion that yes, they are a sinner and they know they stand under the just condemnation of Almighty God, and they repent of their sins and trust in Christ, they too are saved. Anyone who comes through the door, anyone who believes in Jesus Christ and Him alone for salvation is saved. If anyone enters by me, Jesus said, he will be saved. You have entered in by Him, and you are saved. Jesus also said, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out. That's John chapter 10, verse 9. This means that they will constantly live under the protection offered by their good shepherd. Jesus was referring to an ancient prophecy by Moses shortly before his death. Moses said, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may be like sheep which have not be like sheep, which have no shepherd. The point is that God would provide a Messiah through whom God's people would always have a good shepherd to guide and protect them. You are not only saved, but you are safe. Jesus will say later on in John 10, "They shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." You cannot be any more safe than in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, the true sheep who answer Christ's call and enter in by him find pasture. This means that believers in Jesus not only will be saved and are safe, but will be satisfied. In contrast to the thief who comes to steal and kill and to destroy, Jesus came that they, his sheep, may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. True joy, true happiness, true contentment, true satisfaction comes only through a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The world tells us that real life, satisfying life, comes only by seeking our own pleasure, oftentimes through sinful and self-serving lifestyles. But, one commentator asked, does satiation produce satisfaction? And the answer to that is no, it really doesn't. Now, the more a person has, oftentimes, the more unhappy that person is. Jesus once said, "Everyone who drinks of this water, that is, the waters of the world that offer satisfaction, will be thirsty again." Then he added, "Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The truth is, as Leon Morris puts it, the Christian life is an exuberant affair, full of the joy of the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit. Saved, safe, and satisfied. That is what the Savior offers to us. But there are others. There are those thieves and those robbers which come only to steal and to kill and to destroy. They lead God's people away from the truth that is in God's Word. They lead them away from the idea that there is only one Savior of sinners, and that is Christ. They lead them away from the doctrines that are taught very clearly in the Scripture. They call into question, for example, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. They call into question the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven and his being seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. They call into question the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They call into question the doctrine of the Trinity, one God in three persons. They call into question those doctrines that are foundational to our faith and destroy the faith of many who perhaps even grew up in the church. I heard of a young man this past week who is an outstanding football player, a quarterback in the NFL, an all-pro quarterback, grew up in a Christian home. But one of those wolves in sheep's clothing led him away from the evangelical faith that he professed to believe in as a child. And now he is one of those who thinks there are many ways to Christ. He thinks of himself no longer as a Christian, but as someone who is spiritual, whatever in the world that means. Well, let me point out one other thing to you in closing. One commentator said about these false shepherds, these thieves and robbers who come in to kill and to steal and to destroy, that this is even more true when we consider unbelieving worldly leaders who entice the masses with their myths of utopia. Starry-eyed messiahs, to use a phrase from Don Henley of the Eagles. D.A. Carson comments, "The world still seeks its humanistic political saviors, its Hitlers, its Stalins, its Maos, its Pol Pots, and only too late does it learn that they blatantly confiscate personal property. They come only to steal, ruthlessly trample human life underfoot. They come only to kill and contemptuously savage all that is valuable. They come only to destroy." The humanist thinks that God is unnecessary to solve man's problems, that man is able to solve those problems on his own. But man cannot, and man will not. And we discover again and again, as we look at history, at those who promise to be a culture's messiah, are those who do by far and away the most damage that you could ever imagine to that culture and to that society and to those people. So let us not fall for any false messiahs, either in our culture and especially in the church. There is one true shepherd of his sheep, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the door, the only way of salvation, and those who come to him in faith are saved. They are safe and they are satisfied. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for those blessings that are ours through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is the way of salvation, the one and only way. We thank you that he keeps those he saves safe, and we thank you that he gives them abundant life. Father, we thank you for these blessings that we have from you through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we praise you in his name. Amen.